This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. We know this is Mother's Day and maybe a busy day for you, but we trust that you'll have a few moments to meditate on one of the mothers in the Bible that is extremely important, and that's the Lord's Mother. Now, if you'd like to contact me, you can use the email address or the postal address that's given at bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Again, we'll take prayer requests, comments on the program, and the website has other information that you might find helpful, including a weekly meditation. Now, we've been looking at the different ways in which the Lord is looked at in the Bible, and we'll never cover them all, because the theme of the Bible is really to unmask who the Lord really is, and through him to unmask who God really is. And we see that in the very beginning there was the Word, and John tells us that the Word is the expression of God or the Lord himself. There was the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters, and then we see God as Elohim being part of creation. And so we see glimpses of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But really in the Old Testament, it isn't long before the Lord is revealing himself as a personal God to the nation of Israel. That is, he's revealing himself as the ever-existing one. The translation that we use says that that word is Jehovah. Some say Yahweh. The Jews have a hard time putting the consonants or the vowels in and they only use the consonants because they feel the name is too reverent to say. But nevertheless, we're really getting an understanding through the Bible of our God. And when you stick with the Old Testament, you could come to the conclusion that God is very judgmental and full of wrath, and he is when it comes to those who reject him. But when it comes to those who he is offering his salvation to, it's an altogether different story. We know that even David in Psalm 23 could say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And while he had many problems, goodness and mercy is only seen in the Lord Jesus, as far as I can understand, as far as I can see. And those of us who are saved, and I think that would have included David, can honestly say that while there are many problems in our life, goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our life. And we're looking forward to the day when we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But again, as we look at these blessed truths in the Bible, we've come to a day when we honor mothers, and we want to honor a mother that's important in the Bible today, and that is the Lord's Mother. We've talked about Mary before, and we've shown how that Mary, while she was a handmaiden of the Lord, and while she was chosen to be the one who would bear the Lord and raise him, yet she had reproach because of the way this all took place. As far as men were concerned, she was unwed when she conceived the Lord, and I'm quite sure that her friends and neighbors knew that, even though the child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And while she was a handmaiden of the Lord and chosen to deliver the Lord to the world, yet she was one who needed a Savior, and she tells us that. But there's some other things about the Lord that maybe we could look at that would be helpful to us today, and I hope encouraging to those of you who are mothers. Now, I'm always concerned on Mother's Day that we're speaking to mothers, and that there are single women who would like to have been mothers that perhaps feel left out. And I just want you to understand that while we're looking at the mother of the Lord, and she was indeed blessed, there are many single women that have acted as mothers, more so than the mothers of many people who have been born into this world. And if the Lord has not given you the privilege of actually having your own children, I hope that you have taken the responsibility or the privilege of teaching children, and if you're saved, teaching them the Word of God. And I know of many single women who have had their desire to have children met through having spiritual children. The Lord does have a place for single women, and He uses them as the equivalent of mothers in my mind, and many times they're better mothers for some of the young children than mothers are. I think of my own daughter who has been teaching in the public school system in Compton for many years. And she started out teaching the elementary kids. Well, she was a mother to those elementary kids. Not their natural mother, but she mothered them. And I know that as a result of her having been there, they were in fact blessed. And so I don't want to leave out the blessing that the Lord has for single women, and for the fact that while they might not be natural mothers, they are spiritual mothers, and oftentimes they are mother substitutes for many of the children that they run across. And so I just want to bless those of you who didn't have your own children, but who acted as mothers to other children. But when we come to Mary, there is a doctrine in the some of the formal churches that says that she was a virgin and never had any other children. And I've talked to many people who have been raised in that tradition, and you really have to throw the Bible out of the window in order to take that position. If I were to take you to Matthew chapter 13 and read from verse 55, we would read these words, Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And of course, they're marveling at the fact that the Lord Jesus seemed to be special and educated and was being used of God, and he came from Nazareth and from a very common background, and they didn't really give him the respect that he deserved. But as you look at this passage, if you look at the plain sense, it says that he had a mother called Mary, and we believe that. That's not something we would spiritualize. And he has brothers, and he has sisters. And so after the Lord was born, Mary apparently had other children that she raised along with the Lord. Now that must have been interesting for them. James writes an epistle for us, and I think it's James, the Lord's brother, who writes the epistle of James, probably the earliest epistle that's written in our New Testament, if I understand it right. And what James wrote about was really the way in which a Christian should act. And while he doesn't place salvation on the basis of works, he does say that our faith is justified by the works that we do. He says, "You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." And I suspect that that was as a result of his having been raised with the Lord. I've often wondered if Mary and perhaps her husband ever got frustrated with the Lord. And I think you'll find out that there was at least one place where they got frustrated with him. And it's a place where, frankly, I would have gotten frustrated with him, but it's only because we don't understand always the plan and the things that the Lord is trying to accomplish, and we'll look at that in a moment. But nevertheless, it must have been frustrating to live around somebody who never did anything wrong. Or if he did, if he wasn't charged with doing something wrong, it was because people didn't understand what he was doing. And that's what we're going to come to now in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, where the family goes up to Jerusalem for a feast. I think it was the Feast of Passovers. And on the way home, they must have traveled in a group, and they traveled for several days, and all of a sudden realized that the Lord wasn't amongst them. And so Mary and Joseph had to go back and look for him, and they found him in the temple, and he was apparently able to hold his own with the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple, and he was asking them questions and was a real child prodigy, as if I would understand the passage right. And Mary really was, she was really amazed. In fact, as I said, it was Revelation 2, verse 19. I'm looking at Revelation 2, verse 48, which says, "So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us?'" Now look, there she's being critical, right? "Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." She was a normal mother. "And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?'" Some say that translation should be "in my father's house," but I like it better in the King James and New King James. "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business, that I take orders from the Lord?" He was 12, and that's about the age at which most Jewish children were considered to be mature. And so they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. She thought about them. Even though she was the miraculous mother, and even though she had heard the shepherds, and even though she had heard the angels, and even though she had heard Elizabeth, yet there were things that she pondered in her heart she must have wondered about. And so, yes, I do believe that if I had been Mary and Joseph in this situation where he had stayed behind, I probably would have spanked his bottom. But what we don't understand is that he was moving from subjection to earthly parents to doing the will of a father that was in heaven. But it seems to me that it would have been nice if he had at least called them on his cell phone and told them where he was. I make a jest, of course. So they should have apparently known that they didn't have to worry about him. They should have known that, but they were normal people and they did worry. And we're all like that. We worry about our children oftentimes when we don't need to worry about them. And in our case, we don't worry about them when we should worry about them. But she says, "Your father and I have sought you anxiously." And so she was a normal mother. But he was not being disobedient. He was doing what he was born to do. And so we look not only at the way he was raised and the fact that, again, Mary seemed to ponder these things in her heart. That's what I like. I was going to read Luke 2:19. "After listening to the shepherds and all that they had said when the Lord was born, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And would we do that ourselves as we think of the blessings that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ? But what really sticks in my mind is the fact that the Lord was crucified and Mary was at the cross. And so we read in John chapter 19, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother," and then it mentions some others, and the Lord took care of his mother there because he said to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And Joseph seems to be out of the picture at this point, but the Lord still is concerned about this mother who raised him. She was a true mother in Israel. And if we're mothers, as we ought to be, we're concerned too about our children. And one of our concerns should be that they understand that they're born in sin and that they need to be saved, and that the salvation is through this one who died at the cross and who's likely broke his own mother's heart when she saw his suffering there. And so, friend, I hope that you are a true mother, a believer, one who has, if not mothered your own children, mothered others aright by telling them of the Lord Jesus, the one who came into this world to save sinners. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened and upon this program and upon mothers today. We thank thee for thy love and we thank thee for thy salvation. We commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen.